Welcome to Mobile Monday's second anniversary birthday party event. I'm really happy to see such a gangy group make it out here, and I'm looking forward to an interesting Q&A session later on. So, for starters, without getting too messy or walking down memory lane, we started Mobile Mondays in September of 2004. For the few familiar faces out there that were there at the St. Cloud that first night, it was actually quite a great event. I think we had about 60 people out, and 2 years later, we're typically taking maybe around 200 into an event, maybe a Bonakai closer to 300 an event. So I think, simply put, from Mobikyo's point of view, it's really an honor and a privilege to serve in a capacity of organizing these events and bringing the community together. And ultimately, we don't do it alone. Obviously, we have a lot of support, specifically from the sponsors, who without their support, we definitely wouldn't be able to do these sorts of events. And the organizers handling the front door, certainly the people who are making presentations come out and show you what they have to say. And ultimately, the community itself that comes out is certainly great to have your support as well. So thank you very much. And ultimately, I'm looking forward to another few years of interesting growth for the Mobile Monday community. Globally speaking, in September this year, we took on actually 3 new cities. So that's Atlanta, Georgia, St. Petersburg in Russia, and Sydney in Australia launched on September this year. So my understanding is going forward over the next few months, there's actually a few more high-profile sites or cities that will be opening chapters as well. So if you look at the growth curve over the next year, maybe we'd have somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 Mobile Monday cities worldwide. So it's definitely a growing community and an interesting industry, so it's great to have everybody in the Tokyo side coming out and supporting it as well. So for me personally, it's great to meet all of you, and certainly I'll be here to help you in any way that I can, trying to connect people, whether that's domestically or internationally. So please feel free always to try and contact us either here physically or virtually through the website. But ultimately, as I mentioned, having sponsors is without a doubt what makes the wheels turn for this, and I think we should definitely give them some consideration and some support. So I'd like to introduce, without a doubt, my greatest pleasure to have Gary Bremerman and Robert Leonard Consulting step in and support the Mobile Monday chapter going forward for the next year. Gary has a nice little presentation for you, so please give my big round of applause. Gary.
Thanks, Lars, for the nice introduction, and happy birthday to Mobile Monday. I think I was there at the first one as well at the Pink Cow, and know quite a few of you here tonight. Some of you may know what I do and what I don't do, so as this is my first time as a sponsor of the event, tonight's quick presentation is going to be a little bit promotional, but I guarantee you going forward it's going to be different. For those of you that don't know me, Gary Bremerman, I'm the senior consultant at Robert Leonard Consulting. I'm a recruiter. My primary focus is on advertising and marketing professionals. And I've been building my practice in mobile technology over the last 6 to 8 months. And it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed getting to know a lot of you and look forward to getting to know more of you in the future. And to start out, I'm going to start out with a very simple question. Why sponsor Mobile Monday? And of course, there's the obvious one, is to build my business and develop relationships with many of you. But I'm also doing it because I believe in the mission of Mobile Monday. I'm a big believer in networking and getting to know people. And I think it's really vital. We read about each other in the trade journals and hear rumors and all that, but it's good for us to get to know each other face to face and really make those important connections. And the other thing is that Mobile Monday being a sponsor is going to help me further my lifelong mission, which is pretty simple. I'm dedicating the rest of my life to help other people be successful. And that's helping candidates find work that they love, that's meaningful, that they're good at, that's enjoyable, people want to wake up in the morning and happy to go to work. I also like to help companies find talented people. I've founded and sold my own company, ran it for 9 years, and the biggest challenge for me was always finding great people at the right cost, at the right time. And so I want to help other companies do that. And then just the overall thing, helping people reach their potential, helping companies reach their potential. That's what I intend to spend the rest of my life doing, and the recruiting business allows me to do that. Now, I know all of you, if you've looked at recruiting industry websites or heard people like me talk, and we always talk about taking care of people and doing this and doing that, and everyone's website sounds the same. And honestly speaking, our corporate website sounds quite the same as well. But I think that if you do work with us, you'll understand the Robert Leonard difference. And in the interest of time, I'll let you read this. And some of you may reflect on your experience with people in our industry, and you'll nod your head and see if you're working with recruiting 2.0 people versus recruiting 1.0. And I was going to do tired and wired and tired, but I figured since this is a wireless thing, I wouldn't use that one. And then looking forward, you know, today's my first time up here, so I wanted to give, you know, a little bit of PR about myself and my company. But going forward, I have the opportunity to take a few moments as a sponsor, and what I'm going to do is provide you all with some tips from a candidate's perspective and a client's perspective on working better with recruitment firms. And then also, I encourage all of you to send me an email if you have a burning question or a complaint or anything about your experience or want to know something about what we do and how we can help you, and I'll answer one of those questions at each event. And for more information, there's my contact details, but I'd rather meet you in person than have you just write it down, but I'll be here tonight and participating in the drinking session, and happy birthday again to Mobile Monday. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. So,
I have a burning question. Who's Robert
Leonard? You don't know the legend or
that's something that you can regale us with on your second presentation. Who is Robert Leonard? Without a doubt, it's unfortunate that Philip from Yonkers couldn't be here tonight, but he sends us love, and we'll give him a little extra time on the mic on our next event. Certainly, many of you have probably heard from Yonkers before, and it's easy enough to find out what they do through the Mobile Monday website as well. So by all means, let's give him some extra ear time next time around. But now, without a doubt, it's actually a great pleasure to welcome Otis-san from DoubleClick to the stage. DoubleClick has stepped up as a sponsor for Mobile Monday as well as of October, and we'd look forward to working with them in the future as well. Thanks so much.
My name is Yasu Oda. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at DoubleClick Japan. Just one quick question. How many of you here know about DoubleClick or heard of DoubleClick? Oh, great, great. Thank you. We have quite a few support here. DoubleClick provides online advertising technology to large websites and advertisers worldwide. Our clients include New York Times, Economist, Nikkei Shimbun, and all the large newspaper companies here. In addition to online advertising, we provide email marketing software and SEO service. And also we provide web analytics, so-called site catalyst. And just last year, we moved into a mobile sphere, and we started providing a mobile marketing software and SEO service called the Mobile MK. And just a few months ago, we just launched a new analytics, mobile analytics software and SP called Mobile MK Analytics. A couple months ago, Marcus Soho over there did a presentation at here at Mobile Monday. So some of you here may have already saw the Mobile MK interface. I'll be very brief. Just one quick announcement. DoubleClick will have a DoubleClick Solutions seminar called Insight 2006. It's originally started in New York, and now we're doing it in Tokyo as well. It's going to be in Shinagawa and next month, October 10th in Shinagawa. And we will have a Chief Marketing Officer from DoubleClick US speaking about the world trends of online advertising. And also we have a number of companies speaking about the best practices on net marketing. And fortunately or unfortunately, we have almost full registration. So those of you who would like to attend, please go to our website tonight and sign up. It's a free entrance, free event. So I look forward to see you all there. Thank you very much.
I got one of the seats early because I knew about it before you guys, but that's more because I'm special on the Olympic sense of the word.
We
I just made that up.
We have approximately 45 minutes or so. I know there's probably about 50 campers out there, and we have cake. Should we just go upstairs now? Like nobody's saying happy birthday or anything. But we're going to do a mobile marketing and past, present, and future panel, as you've seen from the website. So it'd be great if we could get the four panelists, Ray, Smithson, and Joseph, and Martin, if you could come on down in my best Bob Barker Price is Right call, and we could get started with a little bit of Q&A. Personally, quite curious to see what sort of Q's and A's we're gonna get here, but looking forward to that. Thank the boys for coming out here this evening and sitting on a hot seat because they have no idea what you're gonna ask them. So actually, maybe we'll just start off. We'll give us just a quick introduction of who you are, maybe a minute or two across the road, just so everybody knows what's the face of the name.
My name is Rei Tsuchiyama. I came to Tokyo this time in 1991 when I managed the Asia office for the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And then after that, in the mid-90s, I was involved in selling GSM chipsets for analog devices, which is a U.S. semiconductor company, to Japanese cell phone companies. That got me into the cell phone industry, and for the past 8 years, I've been with TG Communications, which was acquired by AOL, American Online, in 1999. And I launched the Japan office, I did Greater China operations, and for the past 2 years, I've been involved in emerging markets ranging from India, Southeast Asia, Brazil, and Africa.
Hi, good evening everybody. My name is Tatsuki Tomita. I work for Operate Software. I'm responsible for Operate's Japan operation. So perhaps I should just try to mimic the gentleman from DoubleClick. How many of you here today know Opera, use Opera? Okay, well, we've got a pretty good coverage here. I have been working with Opera for the past 5 years. For the first 4 years, I worked in Opera's headquarters, which is Oslo, Norway. And first I started out doing product marketing and promoting Opera's desktop products, which you know some of you are familiar with. And today, I just wanted to share two incredible experiments I had. I went to a hospital with my wife in Hiro to accompany my wife's medical checkups. She's pregnant, so the first time today, I saw little life moving my wife's belly. And I was pretty happy to see this incredible woman. Wow. And then I'm looking at this the monitor that the little baby moving, and she was running opera in there. So that was I was pretty happy after that. And then I moved to Japan and started working with the Japanese customers, just KDDI's and Worldcom and all of the OEMs. Recently, we've been working Nintendo enabling browser on Nintendo DS and Nintendo Wii is coming out in about a couple of times, a couple months from now on. I guess that's it.
Good evening. My name is Martin Williams. I work for IDG News Service. I'm a journalist here in Tokyo. IDG is a US company and publishes technology magazines all around the world. Some of the bigger magazines are things like PC World, Macworld, magazines like that. I've been here since 95, which, if some of you remember, are the days of, we had Docomo back then, but also IDO and Digital Phone, I guess, a long time ago. And I've been covering IT, and especially the mobile market, ever since then. So I look forward to your questions.
It's Joseph Jasper, working with the Investor Relations Department, Index Corporation. Index is perhaps best known for the mobile websites. They launched the first site with Docomo in about 1999, and today have about 200 official websites throughout the three carriers. I joined Index in 2003 with their international business development department, and have, during that time, Index has expanded into the Chinese market, European market, and North American market, and they now with the Investor Relations. And this Index is really a little known best with mobile, expanding now into the video on demand with sort of the one segment mobile services that will be coming up in the future. And I suppose we can expand from here. So thank you.
So
I have too many microphones. One of them might work.
No.
One of them might work. Check. How about that? Check.
Hi. Okay, that's better. It's my microphone. If it were here, it would be much easier for me to figure out. We decided we didn't know what we were going to do as far as a theme for the panel because we really weren't sure what it is that was going to be of most interest. So we tried to get a fairly wide range of capabilities and specialties on the panel, and we set a fairly broad range of the topic as well, past, present, and future. So that pretty much covers it, doesn't it? I think, because I get to be on the mic first, I'd personally be very curious, seeing we're celebrating a two-year anniversary of doing Momo in Japan, what the four panelists think about some of the bigger things, for better or worse, that have happened in Japan's mobile space over the last 2 years, say, since fall of 2004. Maybe we'll start with Martin, because he was looking up the ceiling. Where do I begin?
No, I'm just trying to remember what it's been the last 2 years or not. Without a doubt, I think one of the most interesting things that's been going on and will be important for the future is Docomo's integration of the Celica system into the cell phones. We've got the being used for credit cards now, for e-money and that type of thing. And it just seems to make immense sense to me, and I think it just makes cell phones more useful. And I think going forward, this is going to be a huge advantage for Docomo initially. The other carriers are picking it up, but I think in a few years, that's going to be very good.
Okay, I agree completely on one side. Just with the phone being traditionally something that's just used for voice communication, and with say the Celica system being integrated to the boarding train, is that one of those really everyday functions that everybody does? It was something that really tried to break down that mental barrier for just using the phone in terms of voice communication. Now, using it perhaps as a TV remote control, or to get on and off the train, or to pay for the magazine over at the convenience store. It's something that's really as exciting and may grow into a series of other services as well.
Right.
Yes, I'll agree with that. I'm reminded of the philosopher, writer of the 19th century, Karl Marx, who said that whoever owns the mode of production owns the economy or the society. In this case, Docomo is looking to the future. If it owns the platform for payments, it will own everything. I mean, that's the and to get out of something that they see happening in the new future, which is that calls will be free. And to get out of the network business, which is to build more networks and infrastructure, it costs. Somebody else has to do that. It may not be Docomo, but I think from another, if I can interject, another thing that did not happen, and this is something that I thought would happen, and many others, I've been in the industry for a long time, is that when you look at Japan globally, you see beautiful handsets. I mean, this type of building will not exist in the U.S. I mean, I can't see Verizon or Sprint or, you know, Singular having, you know, 4G kind of facility or lab. This is unique to Japan. It's part of Harajuku. It's part of Omotesando. It's why Japan is cool now. I mean, Japan is cool. Anime, studying Japanese management, out. Right? I mean, a lot of things that happened during the last 20 years about Japan is out. I mean, this is what defines cool. But coming back to what did not happen is Japanese handsets are absent in China, absent in Europe, absent in the U.S. I mean, this is only in Japan. And the slavery, the slave relationship that Docomo and the other the carriers in Japan, I think has done something to emasculate Japanese vendors, and they're unable to make phones for the rest of the world, and it's very strange. And this is something that may be natural. This is, there's going to be a billion phones sold in the world. You know, maybe this year, next year, a billion. TGIC, I didn't want to push my product, but T9 predictive text software, the last 5 years has been in over 2 billion phones. We have been shipped in more small devices than Windows, which is a big thing. But coming back to that, I totally agree with that. But people at Docomo are kind of sensing that telecoms may not be the most profitable thing in the world. They have to be into something else, and it may be banking.
The most significant things that have happened in the past 2 years, to me, may be relatively small to what you guys have been talking about. But from the web browser developer's perspective, it is the most significant thing is the emergence of the Flutter browser. We really wanted to say, and finally, yes, WAP is dead. It hasn't, you know, it's still there, but more and more handsets start shipping with through web browser, and that has happened. It's actually 2004, mid 2004, and more and more handsets is coming up. And what this means is that you are now able to run the, you know, advanced web applications, and so you're not really tied to this small kind of closed walled garden content. But you can access to anything you like from your mobile phones, and so that's to me the most significant things that happened in the past 2 years.
So who is going to go first? I know that Basil is just dying to ask some questions. Where did he go? Now he wants to know who Robert Leonard was. So okay, let's go with Andrew then. Oh, you got him.
Okay. Since the Wilcom device was announced or released late last year and was a huge success, you've had both Docomo and now Vodafone announcing Windows mobile devices, and there's rumors about AU as well, so perhaps it's only a matter of time. I was wondering what you think about the future of Windows mobile in Japan.
Well,
Plus, Vita, you have to take that one first, I think.
Well, you know. I don't know. We didn't want really, so we didn't want Microsoft to be successful in this market, and we refused to port Opera Browser onto Windows Mobile, the Microsoft operating system, and we finally did because our customer said, "Hey, you know, that this little browser running on Windows Mobile, not really good." So we did that. And but coming back to your question, I think they're going to be they're going to have a reasonable success. I mean, they have a pretty good product now. But you know, I guess imagine, I mean, to some extent they're going to be successful, but it's mostly, you know, political, and I'm not sure a little browser developer. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I hope they're not going to be that much success.
Martin, what do you think about that from the user point of view?
I've never used a Windows Mobile device, so I don't know that much about them. It seems, though, that not just with Windows Mobile, but with the other PDAs and the PDA phones out there, one of the big things in the US and Europe is that you can get email on them, whereas on cell phones you can't. And, of course, in Japan, everybody has email on their cell phones anyway. So I think probably a decent chunk of the demand is for that email is already addressed. So whether they'll be successful or not, I'm not sure, but I don't think they'll be anywhere near as successful as other markets.
Well, this revolves around my previous a bold statement, and the Zaris was here in Japan and had a niche market that only Oyaji and Bucho class ever used. And why didn't there was a PDA phone developed in Japan that could be sold globally? Again, that never happened. Failure of software, failure of marketing, failure of looking out to an application that could be of use in New York or Johannesburg or Sao Paulo. I mean, this is very strange. This is very late in the game, and they're going to surrender again outside of Japan, and it's unfortunate that this happened, but I think there is a great need for this kind of device among people who seem to follow a fad called a BlackBerry in the U.S., and I think these types of devices will enter Japan more and more. I mean, these, they were sold out. I'm sure that you saw that there were lines for this device by WorldCom, which is the perpetuation PHS. I should have gone out the door as I found it some years ago, but it's still around. And as soon as BlackBerry had the Japanese input method, which it lacks right now, I think it will be a better device.
So,
do you think Windows Mobile, that Zero 3 has been successful because of the operating system that's running underneath, or because of the other form factor?
I think it's been successful partly because of it, but partly in spite of it. Windows Mobile still got a long way to go to catch up with the usability and stability of Japanese phones, but at the same time it offers a lot of power and expandability and a way out of the walled garden in many ways, so you can get your MP3s, you don't have to stick with some carrier standard that you can't port to the device, that you can't port to your PC. So I think there's a lot of potential once they get the usability better.
So Windows, first and foremost, up here.
Hi, Oliver Matthew. I work for Diageo, which is the world's largest alcohol company. You may ask why I'm here.
It's
not all beer. I'm very interested in advertising through mobile devices. I'd like to ask you what you think are the big trends coming up, and what would you advise me to get ahead of those trends to be doing right now?
Comfortable beginning the answer to that one. In the past, in just last week, there's a company in Japan called Mixi that has gone public. And Mixi is a part of its social networking services, something like MySpace in North America. It's a Mixi itself, about 5 million, I think, registered users or so. This is something that on the standard PC internet, we've seen the advertising business model be incredibly successful. And now, in terms of mobile, perhaps using this kind of social networking system to change that into a marketing business model as well. And if I could do some shameless self-publicity as well, with Index Corporation does have a mobile social network service as well called GoCo, and approximately 400,000 subscribers right now. And this is where we have these communities within these within those 400,000 subscribers. Perhaps it is a drinking circle, and you could within that, and I'm sure there'd be many members who are a part of that circle. And just once you have a solid base, perhaps selling out banner space or ad space within that community, something that we do see a good deal of potential for.
Yeah, this is a question to Joseph, because you mentioned about, I'd like to ask others to mention about the one set. So, with your, this is the bright mind of your people, so where would the one set future be in 2 years from now, in terms of what kind of new services and functions and capabilities may be coming out just from just a simple watching movie on television right now?
I think as the history of the PC can show us, coming up to where we are now, I think search becomes very, very important. And the search within the contents of your phone has become a little more important now since when I started out in handsets, 8, 9 years ago, 1 megabyte was a huge deal. Now there's 6, 10, 20 megabytes, and so forth. So I think that would be an area that would be very exciting.
Yeah. When OneSec started, and I went to the press conferences and saw the demonstrations, I had a certain amount of deja vu. It was exactly the same as 5 or 10 years ago when I was watching demonstrations of digital TV. And right then, the big thing that we were going to all get with digital TV was, just imagine, you'll be watching the drama and the actress will be wearing a dress you like and you can press a button and buy the dress. And that never ever happened, because when people watch TV, they just want to watch TV. They don't care about anything else. With OneSec, I think people just want to watch TV. I don't think they want a lot of other stuff. Maybe there's some sort of data casting system that can go alongside it, where the TV stations can offer some content instead of downloading the ringtone for the drama. They'll send it to your phone through the data casting or something. But I'm not sure it's going to move much beyond watching television.
Index Corporation right now, some of our most successful mobile sites are for the television networks, our largest subscriber sites. This is something that the television networks can promote on their own and drive users into that awareness. Right now you just have the simulcast, so anything you'd be watching on a regular television set is the same broadcast on your mobile handset. So there's really no personalization involved right now, but coming in about 2008, we will see the real interactivity begin. If you are watching news broadcast on the upcoming elections, there could be a survey about who do you expect to come out on top, and press number 6, and you've now sent in your vote, and you could have really a real-time reaction. That's something for news, but also just entertainment. Television quiz games. It could be a quiz program where the audience is in real time interacting and participating with that kind of programming. Or watching a music video and happen to feel it's a great song. Who is that? It's already on your handset. You could download the ringtone or perhaps purchase the CD. E-commerce possibilities, the public survey possibilities. Whether it will be really big or not, it still remains to be seen. But there's just a lot of potential that is upcoming.
Can I ask one more question?
Can I just ask Sorry, I'm going to jump on you. The voting, and you both sort of, you brought it up that maybe they just want to watch the push, and yeah, maybe having some feedback. One thing that we haven't seen in Japan that we see in large scale in Europe and the United States is SMS voting. Big Brother maybe is the classic example, which is actually a fairly lucrative revenue generator for the broadcasters.
I would
want to hear. So
I wanted to add, just as soon as you started speaking, that came into my mind that maybe voting is the one thing that might be successful on there, but I don't think people will be buying CDs on there or doing anything else. But voting, definitely, that could be a big thing, because the cell phone has the back channel onto the telecoms network, and with the digital broadcast, they can push the vote right onto the screen, so it's as easy as just pressing the button. You don't even have to go to a website. So voting itself, I think, maybe.
One follow-up question is that with your vision, Joseph, that as soon there has to be some sort of the barriers of the legal aspect has to be taken care of. Separation of broadcasting and communication right now is completely separated. I mean, we don't want to enter into it. So are you assuming that the Japanese government is something about it, so that each other can come into each other's business in a meaningful way within the next 2 years?
And I mean, I'm afraid that I'm not that familiar with the legal issues that may be involved, so I don't want to duck the issue, but we need to follow up on that.
My question is about Java technology. Like, Docomo is pushing up for Indian standards, or like Vodafone is pushing up for MIDC standards. What do you think? What is going to be the future of Java technology from handsets?
My personal view is that MIDC will eventually take over some proprietary stuff. We don't like anything proprietary. We want open standards. So from that standpoint, I think MIDC will be the winning. But you know, I don't know. I guess at least in Japan, it depends on how SoftBank, how well SoftBank are able to push MIDC standards.
I'm not sure there's much advantage in the carriers pushing a common standard amongst all three of them. A common standard is great for users. It means you can run the same thing on phones from Docomo, AU, and SoftBank. But where the carrier is concerned, what's the advantage of that? If Java, like at the moment, is slightly different, then it means it's something that Docomo can't run on the competition. So it puts a barrier up. It makes something more exclusive. So I think the carriers will, they like to talk about standards, but they like to be the ones that decide the standards. They don't like anyone else deciding the standards for them.
Great. Going.
I have a question about mobile phone number portability problems, which the numbers are going to get carried away, vary from one carrier to another. And being in Japan for the last more than 20 years, I've been locked with Docomo, and I'm just waiting for this mobile portability thing to start so I can push myself away from Docomo. So do you think that it will have a huge impact in the market with a lot of people changing their from one carrier to another, and in general, do you think that it will affect the stock price for each company?
The number of portability is really we still have about just about another month until that's all kicked in, and then it's difficult to predict right now who will be coming out on top of that. At the end of the day, it may just be that the user, in terms of the overall cost, that the competition may become more fierce between the carriers, and that could benefit users with any type of price competition. But in terms of subscribership, I've really not even comfortable to try to predict that right now.
Who are you hoping to use for?
SoftBank.
I think
It's difficult to predict. A few years ago, number portability came into Hong Kong, and there were lots of predictions about huge changes in the market there. And as it turned out, it was only in the sort of low single-digit percent of people that switched carriers. Having said that, you know, Japan is a market where people change their phones. I don't know if it's still every 9 months or so, but people change their phones a lot. And if it's only a 2,000 yen barrier to changing your carrier, and if your new carrier is going to pay that anyway, then maybe there'll be a lot more changing. But I think if people switch to one carrier, they'll maybe quite easily be won back as well. It's certainly going to be interesting to see. I think at the moment, initially anyway, SoftBank's looking like it's going to be the loser. I think Docomo and AU will be the winners at the beginning. But then again, we were talking earlier. I was talking to someone earlier this week that said that they were going to go to AU, but they don't like any of the new AU phones, so now they're going to go to Docomo. I've had lots of conversations with people who have told me they chose the phone they got because they wanted that colour, nothing to do with any of the features. So I think it's quite easy to, for a lot of people, they don't care so much about the carrier, and they don't care so much about the features. They care about the handsets and the phones, and with them changing every 6 months, I think it could be quite a fluid situation. It could be quite interesting to watch.
As a content provider, albeit a small one, the biggest change we've seen over the last 2 years has just come in recently, and that is the introduction of search engines within the official menus. That is affecting things in a way. Time remains to tell the effects, I guess. But what are people thinking about the long-term effects of the walled gardens coming down?
So far from, with the search engines, really just perhaps giving greater access to, until now there was such a high value on being on the official menu, that if you weren't one of the first sites to show up, the first four or five sites, then generally the users will not scroll down the page or skip to the next page to find where you are in the menu. Now with just a keyword that there may just be no distinction at all with official, unofficial. Perhaps billing may be one of the defining features here, because if you're an unofficial site, then it really becomes a good deal. The user may not be as willing to share their credit card information in order to make that type of payment. But with official, there's that an official site that is being carried by one of the three carriers. You have that sense of security when you go, and when you receive your statement at the end of every month, you know that it's with a reliable. Reliable company, or at least you have someone that you can perhaps blame if there is a problem. But the unofficial site just may be a matter of security.
The biggest issue we've seen so far is that keyword searches bring up a whole heap of sites that have absolutely nothing to do with keyword. And as I said, as a small content provider, we are really going to have to rely on these keyword searches and to compete with larger companies that can buy out of AdWords in a lot of different domains. It's making life quite interesting at the moment.
Ray, you had something to say about search earlier?
We talked about some of the mobile applications. Such as, for instance, entertainment, and but what about more serious applications that have more far-reaching impact into the business world, like, for instance, used in delivery companies, or applications where the users would enter data into that connects to the company transaction system, such as banking, insurance, like delivery companies updating the stock. What do you think about the future of mobile in this area?
If I maybe to have some more clarification on the question. Sorry.
What do you think of the future of mobile in applications where the mobile applications would connect to the company-wide transaction system, where where you would, for instance, have a delivery person update the database of his company on the whereabouts of his delivery.
Some of the issues that Index has heard from clients so far is that people are, oftentimes the client is very concerned about security and that kind of payment taking place directly over through an application through the internet connection. The client, above and beyond all else, wants to protect the reputation of their brand. And right now, we've not seen so many companies that are willing to take that next step. But future potential.
I think this is an area that we don't really see. It's not very visible because these types of services aren't things that are sold in shops like this. I mean, one of the greatest things in the last few years that's changed is when the TakiBin guy comes. If you miss him, but only by a few minutes, then his PHS number's right there, and you don't have to call the centre, you can call the guy. And he's still in the neighbourhood of the Springerbox background. A lot of companies, this is an area where Wilcom is doing a lot of work because it has the data network there and a lot of people are using it. There are also a lot of applications with IP telephony as well, mobile IP phones that maybe aren't using the cellular network, but are offering things like present services, whereby a company can immediately see where all of their workers are, can send them notices. This then gets into issues where the phones are running custom applications. As soon as the worker finishes the job, he can go onto his phone, press a button, and he's immediately sent to the next job. This is something I think that saves companies a lot of money, and it's already being used quite a lot. It's only going to get used more in the future.
Now, Basil, I know you have a question. You wanted to know what Robert Leonard was. No, you must have a question for the general manager.
How much business is Index doing outside Japan?
This is really the same question as
for 2005, between 25 and 30% of Index's total sales were from international markets. And those markets were split between the European market, North America, and China. The majority of that, about 80% of that, was from the European market, though. But overall, about 25 to 30% of sales.
Would be
ringtone downloads, wallpaper, SMS. Really not as much more of the conventional services. Not really what we're seeing in Japan with these the advances in the mobile internet.
You know, when I talk to Europeans, especially vice presidents of big organizations and companies, some of them are convinced that Europe is far in advance of Japan in mobile communication. Would you agree with that, or would you say that Japan is more advanced?
Personally, I have not spent a great deal of time in Europe. I do feel that the diversity of services in Japan, there is a great deal of depth to the services available. In terms of technology, I cannot really speak to the technology side that well.
Well, in a, I guess, a little more philosophical mode about Japan, you know, wondering about Matasango, Harajuku, and so forth, the pervasiveness of mobile to personal life, I think, is deeper in Japan. But the next question is, does this really make people happier or more productive or connected with other people? I don't know. Because I deal in emerging markets in South, in India, in Mumbai or Johannesburg or Sao Paulo, and we're just getting SMS started. and it's liberating. It's unbelievable just to get that going. And it's still SMS for many, many emerging markets. It's still the bulk of revenues, non-voice revenues for carriers. But going back to Japan and vis-a-vis Europe, I think Europeans would take a lot more value in a lot of other things, music, art, vacations, and having a good life, than Japanese. And whether a mobile equals a greater cultural debt for Japan, I don't know. I really don't know yet. I'm sorry to be an anti a conventional wisdom kind of guy, but I think I'm here just for that purpose.
and doing it well. We actually have maybe a 10 or 15 minutes. Unless you want to go all night, I'm sure Jonathan would let us stay till midnight. One of the things we haven't talked a lot about, I suppose, is the future. And I'm thinking all of you will have a thought on that, but he's got you. Let's have one more from the floor.
I've got a question for one of you. A little while ago, I couldn't send a picture from my AU cell phone to a Docomo cell phone. I'm not sure if that's what you mean by interoperability or what, but I mean, has that been fixed? And if that's the case, what was the issue? Is it a management issue or policy issue or a technological issue? What was the problem?
We all chose the fault control.
There was an issue because there were all these gateways that you changed the address and you could send it. And I don't know if it was the picture format or I don't know the exact reason, but there was an issue. But I think that's all gone now.
Good answer.
A big cloud in the sky. A little stream. No, I'm not sure. Was it recently? Sorry, that's.
No, not very recently.
Okay. But
maybe a couple of years ago or something.
No.
Okay. Yeah. It was an issue. I
don't
exactly know
what
it
was. My phone doesn't even connect to the network.
You're
on voice phone, aren't you? Right. It could be file size. It could be format. It could be got lost somewhere along the way because one of them was a portal phone. No bullet point people do this. Sure.
Going back to the number portability issue, if you look at the announcement or the advertisement done by Docomo, they emphasize that the email doesn't change, will change. So, how the Japanese are hooked to their mobile email or to the carrier email? Are there going to be carrier-free email application? Are there already application? Are they popular?
I think when people change their carriers, they'll lose their email address. But is it going to be a big? I don't think so. But until recently, or maybe still, a lot of people every 6 months change them because they used to get so much spam anyway, and now spam is much less of a problem, but when it was a problem, people changed their email address all the time, so I don't know, how many people do you email regularly?
Maybe 10, 15 people? From your cell phone?
I have a good example, like the answer, you know, television interviewing they send 100 emails per day, and so I've been involved in some spam stuff, and you know,
Okay, so talking about spam email, one of the problems were those, Lady Vin Shibuya would send 100 emails per day. So you had to set a threshold level, you know, when it is considered as spammer and when it is considered as just Gmail emails. So it is important for this community.
But I think in terms of the email address, people used to, and maybe still do, change their address fairly frequently. I think also the people that are sending 100 today are probably sending 100 within the same 10 people or something like that. I wouldn't think it's a huge problem, but I mean,
does anyone care if they change their email address or
it was actually a hands-up question. I mean, obviously we're looking at the reportability, and I'd be curious, just for a quick show of hands, first of all, how many people even know that at the end of October you're going to be able to take your number from one carrier to another? That's pretty straightforward. So how many people are seriously considering changing a carrier? What was that, like half the room? Seriously, let's have a look. How many people are seriously considering at the end of October going to change the carrier that they're on, take their number to a new carrier? So maybe like 10? Wow. Okay. So when we're looking at things in the future, and I'm probably at least as busy as everybody else, maybe we could just have a quick roundup of what you guys are thinking about as things that we should be watching for, say, the next 2 years. You didn't have trouble downloading ringtone, did you?
I want advice from you guys. Okay, the question is it ethical in these days of fast changing technological expansion that a company would try to ask you to sign a contract for more than 2 years? What do you think about it? Are they trying to pull your leg, or is that something that you would advise people to do, to sign a contract for more than 2 years when the technology is going to change so quick?
You mean a carrier contract for a phone, right?
Yeah. The contract ties you to the carrier for 2 years, not to the phone. So as the new phones come out, you could change the phones. I mean, it's just business, right? It's what they need to do to they're giving you this they're giving you this subsidy when you buy your telephone, and they need a year or 2 years to get that money back from you. You end up paying for the full price of the phone in the end. But they just need that time. And I think with Vodafone offered me a deal the other day if I signed a 2 year contract with them. I didn't, just because I knew number portability was coming up, and I didn't want to be stuck with them for 2 years if a better deal came on. And
just put your hand up.
I'm seriously considering. I'm sort of considering playing with the idea.
So 2 years ahead, Joseph, people are going to be buying things on one sec TV with their Felica chip phone.
Yeah, hit two of those topics. The one segment. One segment is something that we are looking forward to as a large channel to expand mobile services. The another one, the social networking services, seeing that as a possible another, say, revenue channel for advertisers, for the content providers. So one segment, broadcasting, and perhaps the social networking services, things that we're anticipating good things from.
Next few years. Felica is going to get much bigger, especially in places like Tokyo, Nagoya, or Osaka, where people take the train a lot, take the subway a lot, and where there are going to be enough of these stores where you can buy things using your cell phones. The television is going to keep getting bigger because everybody loves to watch TV on their cell phones. You're also going to see more foreign handsets. How successful they are, I don't know, because you know the foreign handset makers are still, they still have to come up to the grade of the carriers. The carriers still dictate a lot of what's going in the cell phones, and the carriers can, to a certain extent, also hobble the cell phone, so the foreigners are successful, but not too successful. But I think we'll see a greater variety of factors in the next couple of years.
Well, I think there's going to be a more and more convergence between the PC content and the mobile content. There's not going to be, maybe iMode is going to be around for the next 2 years, but most of the mobile content will be basically, YouTube's and Flickr's, all these web applications. These days you don't really develop a web application for Windows or for Mac or Linux. You'd be developing web applications running in the web browser, so that you can access to those applications from anywhere you like. You know, you have this game console or portable media players or mobile phones or anything.
So I think that's what's going to happen on the mobile. But that's kind of now the little tiny segment, sorry, from the web browser vending again. That's you know, that's only my expertise. I don't know anything else.
Can I ask a question as well? This is one of the most interesting things. Maybe I'm overbearing in 2 years. You think IMO might be gone?
Well, I think maybe, you know, they might keep the IMO branding, but there's going to be no distinction whether it's, you know, okay, well, you might be able to maybe, I don't know, but I think as a user's perspective, any user's perspective, I don't really need IMO. Because I can access to my, a blog using, just approved browsers running on the mobile phone, and you have all other applications, and you know, why do you want this? I don't need this limited application to run on the web.
Something that also looks for some of these mobile payments as well. Something that can be used when you're going into the convenience store, and if you have bought something at AMTM or 7-Eleven, and you happen to be able to track your spending at AMTM this month, and perhaps they have a loyalty program. You spend X amount of yen, and then you can get a free ring tone of some kind or discount on something in the store. And then using that is even a form of tracking consumer behavior. So these payment systems are something that do have a great deal of potential as well for merchants, advertisers, the content providers as well.
No, basing your very insightful comments, and in the future, carriers could become like a Akomu promise of today. For easy cash. I mean, it could be like that in a ubiquitous kind of moment. One thing that we didn't touch upon is Wi-Fi, and maybe we're seeing more hotspots growing and growing and growing. The Wi-Fi may merge as something that could be a alternative, but again, we've heard about MVNOs in the past. They never got going again, and that's something that maybe the Japanese consumer is missing out on, a different type of experience, different type of niche carriers that could emerge in Japan. Again, we're still in a lock within the community. Just a note on new handsets. Yes, I think the most surprising thing of the last year was that the PDA phones coming from Taiwan, HTC. And that's very interesting because the Taiwanese ODMs, companies that put out phones or PDA phones, smartphones without a brand, were focused or centered in Taiwan using Windows Pocket PC and Windows smartphone platforms. And then they never really came into Japan. And this could be a backdoor for Windows to accelerate in Japan through these ODMs and creating a new niche market. And this is very surprising that this, and that could be a factor in the future for this niche market.
A couple of other things that we didn't touch upon that's also in the next couple of years going to be interesting to watch. The first is that we've got new carriers coming as well, two new carriers, IP Mobile and eAccess. eAccess has already signed a deal with Docomo to offer voice services and MVNO on Docomo's network. They're building the data network themselves. IP Mobile is also doing their own TDMA or something. So we've got the two new carriers coming as well. It's going to be interesting to see just how well they do. It's one of the complaints, talking about number portability, one of the complaints was Vodafone customers having the network coverage, because in the last couple of years Vodafone did not invest very much money into the network. or they didn't invest it initially anyway, and this this image of Vodafone's 3G coverage being bad still persists to this day. These new carriers are going to have to spend a lot of money building a bulletproof network, because I think phone service, different from internet service, phone service is something that nobody is willing to subscribe to a carrier that doesn't give them 100% service. If they start finding out that two or three times a day they can't get a signal or their call won't get through, and I think they'll pretty quickly drop the carrier. It's a little different from your home internet when, you know, it slows down during a busy time or something and people don't care so much. So the new carriers, it'll be interesting to see, but I have no predictions on how they're going to do it.
The one of the things that that I found it very interesting is this little company called Sooner. What they have this pretty disruptive technology. You can basically access your PC from your mobile phone. What it does, you can access to your files, you can access to your, you know, the pictures that is stored in your PC. So and then also the one other thing that's very interesting is that you can access through your Skype accounts. You know, the Skype running on your PC from your mobile phone. So the Windows Mobile, we have Skype for Windows Mobile after running on the device, but you don't have to have a Skype natively ported on, say, Docomo phones or AU phones or SoftBank phones. It's, you know, as long as you have the web browser running, you can access to it, and you can make a phone call using Skype, and of course you can use the Skype chat as well. So when that happens and when it gets really, really popular, basically if you have a flat data services, you don't have to make any phone calls because, you know, it's going to be all free. So they're going to be maybe just another ISP, just the, you know, the bit pipes.
So interesting times ahead. I'm guessing we could probably talk for some time, but our time down here is up. And I'm guessing, speaking of up, there's an upstairs place and time for us to be now. So thanks everybody for coming out. I definitely thank for the sponsors who are here, and certainly that a few of you would like to have a chat with them afterwards as well. And we certainly look forward to another couple of years of interesting Mobile Monday events. So please feel free to get in touch with us here in town and shake me down when we're upstairs. Thanks to the panel again very much for them coming out tonight.